and find an authorized version of the Holy Scripture in the English language in front of you in the pew. Pick it up and turn with me to the 8th chapter of the book of Job. It's at page 556 in the Bible in front of you in the pew. Page 556. Chapter 8 of the book of Job. And we're reading from verse 7. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. Shall not they teach thee and tell thee, and utter words out of their heart? Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? While it is yet in his greenness, and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be as a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. He is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth the place of stones. If he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. And God will bless his word to our hearts for his great name's sake. Turn with me to the 38th chapter of the book of Job and look with me at the verse 17. Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the shadow, the doors of the shadow of death? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? There are things that fallen man are not permitted to see or behold. And no fallen man, until he comes himself to pass through these gates, can say they have been opened unto him. It is plainly here that these gates of death are closed until the day you and I have to pass through them. And that the doors of the shadow of death are not seen until that terrible change that's coming upon us all when we pass from time into eternity and from the temporal things into the eternal things. There are many things that fallen man is not able to accomplish. They are beyond the reach of his ability, and they are beyond the reach of his wisdom. Suffering Job, with all his aches and pains, with all his hopelessness and helplessness, was not permitted to view the shadow of death or to gaze upon the gates of death. He was brought to death, but he did not see death. He was brought to the doors of death, but he didn't see the doors. He was brought close to death, but not so close that he could see it. We all know that we must die. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after death, the judgment. So we will all die. But the art of dying is beyond us. We have, however, a duty, a solemn duty. And that duty is to study the way that we must all take and prepare ourselves for what? The leaving of life. For we're all going to leave this life that we're living. There are three pieces of knowledge that we should seek to know, for they are all important for a sea of passage of our souls out of time into the great eternity. We need first of all to go down to the gates of death and be acquainted with what shall befall us there. We are not to leave ourselves ignorant of what we can expect when we approach the doors of the shadow of death, or the gates of death itself. We need to ask Almighty God to bring into focus of our vision those dark portals of the world to come. It would be salutary to keep ever before us the fact that these portals never close. They always stand open. They are ever open inwards to permit sinful mortals to pass within. But they are not opened outwardly to permit their prisoners to leave that prison house of death. All can enter, but none can escape from the imprisonment. What millions, what trillions, what billions of souls have passed those foreboding mortals of the shadows of death. You cannot count the number. It boggles the human mind to stand at a given point on the road of life and to say, how many have passed this milestone to death and to eternity? All the wars, all the battles of this earth have driven multitudes of these millions down that dark highway. The sword has hounded its droves through the imprisonment of death. Wars have killed its millions and thousands of millions. The vast majority of all who have lived on this earth or will live on this earth have all passed through the same portals. The epidemics of sickness, the ravages of plagues, the curse of famines have all added to the accelerated crowds who have been forced to march this way. While we sit here, multitudes are still passing onwards, quickly passing. But I ask thee, whither bound? Is it to the many mansions where eternal rest is found? Passing onwards, quickly passing, but I ask thee, whither bound? The very elderly, stiff with all their joints, they continue to march through those deadly portals of death. The very young have not even yet learned to speak are in that multitude, passing on to death, to judgment, and eternity. The very old die, the very young die too. The not so old die, and not the not so old are so young die too. There are the rich, but they pass through the gates penniless. There are many great ones, but their clothes and royal raiment is not marked among the crowds. All pass with empty hands. Titles are dropped. Crowns are fallen. Thrones have collapsed. Death and its portals are the great levels. All are leveled to the same square of levelness before those gates. Remember, however, while many go and return not, there have been a few who through special miracles have returned. But on the whole, they are very few indeed. The Bible says, as the tree falleth, so shall it lie. The Bible says they cannot return. It is an idle folly to long for them to return. There is no return for them. The obituary notice has been read, signed, and delivered and printed in the copies and columns of the eternal time. He that is guilty, let him and be guilty still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is unclean, let him be unclean still. We can only stand at these portals. So far and no farther, because we're barred by divine prohibition. Only when we ourselves are going in will we come to the gates and through the portals. The Holy Spirit said to Job, "Hast thou seen the shadows of death?" I have simply stated to you the solemn facts. I trust you have been learning by your vigil at death's gate, lesson number one. Learn it and learn it well. These gates are always open, and their way is always crowded. Mankind dies in the morning. Mankind dies at noon. Mankind dies at the evening. Mankind dies in the night time. Since Abel led the way, they have marched unstopping and unstoppable through these dark portals, the shadows of the gates of death. Each day brings its fresh intake. Each week its crowds. Each century its multitudes. Each millennium its millions. We are going down the valley one by one with our faces toward the setting of the sun. Down the valley where the bitter cypress grows, where the screaming death and silence onward flows. We are going down the valley. We are going down the valley one by one. Learn this. All simply deaths are not beautiful to look upon. The saint in death can have a very rough time. Luther's deathbed was a troubled time for the great reformer. John Knox had a turbulent time, but he laid hold of the promise that brought him victory the day he came to Christ at the first. That this is the true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And at the end of a great battle, Knox found the quiet of the sleep of death in Christ. The saints do not always have a beautiful death. Some of the deaths of the saints have been deaths of agony and deaths of darkness and deaths that there seemed to be no hope in. But most of the deaths of God's people are joyous happenings. Those who attend them have learned it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Lean not at the side of the dark portals, because there are stores of grace to be found there for all who will receive them before they come to die. There is dying grace for every child of God. Learn that on the borders of eternity God gives sweet visions of Emmanuel's land. Like Moses, the great patriarch, we are permitted to view the land of far distances and see the King in His beauty. Christ will come Himself to meet us and secure for us an abundant entrance, sweeping through the gates of the New Jerusalem, singing, "Washed in the blood of the Lamb." The deaths of the ungodly have marked differences. The psalmist talks to us about the deaths of the ungodly. Over in Psalm 73, the psalmist tells us about the death that comes to the ungodly. And verse 4, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm." And then over in Psalm 37, the psalmist returns to that theme of the ungodly's death. What does he say? "I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading themselves like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he were not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." Ah, but hell comes after death. Hell comes after death. And after death, there will be the final awakening. And what is more, that final awakening will be forever. You will never go to sleep again. Because the lost soul knows nothing about rest or peace or happiness. All that is forfeited. He threw away his opportunities. He rejected the Son of God. He trembled underfoot the Son of God. Oh, the death of the ungodly is the place of eternal farewells. Eternal farewells when we never meet again. William Cowper, the great poet, spoke concerning the solemnity of the preacher when he talks about hell. He said, "He that negotiates between God and man as God's ambassador, the great concerns of judgment and of mercy should beware of lightness in his speech. 'Tis pitiful to court a grin when you should woo a soul, to break a jest when pity should inspire pathetic exhortation, and to address the skittish fancy with facetious tales when sent with God's commission to the heart. So did not Paul direct me to a quip or a merry turn in all he ever wrote, and I consent you take it for your text, your only one, till sides and benches fall. No, he was serious in a serious cause, and understood too well the weary terms that he had taken in charge. He would not to conquer those by jocular exploits. Stoop, whom truth and soberness has sealed in thee. Listen, my friend, tonight. Time is earnest passing by. Death is earnest drawing nigh. Sinner, wilt thou trifling be? Time and death appeal to thee. Life is earnest when it's o'er. Thou returnest nevermore. Soon to meet eternity, wilt thou never serious be? God is earnest, kneel in prayer. Ere thy season pass away, ere be set his judgment throne, vengeance ready, mercy gone. Oh, be earnest, death is near. Thou wilt perish lingering here. Sleep no longer, rise and flee. Lo, thy Savior waits for me. Come unto me, says Jesus, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Turn this night to Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O God, our Father, we thank thee for the Word of God. Write it upon our hearts this night, and grant no soul will go out to the death portals, to the shadows of the great judgment day, without peace and hope in Jesus Christ. Thou hast told us, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Help sinners to call upon the name of the Lord for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.